If God is at work around us, how are we supposed to know where He is working and how to follow His lead?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. We've got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. So if you would go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, you can like this video, drop a comment down below so that we can know your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this. So let's get into it.
Let's do it. So every follower of Jesus really wants to do just that, follow Jesus. Makes sense. The question I've had over my time in the faith, and I hear from other people is, well, how do I know where He is then? How do I know what He's doing, and how do I know where to go next? If He's leading and I'm following, then where is that? Where is He working, and what is He doing? What's He doing in me? What's He doing in my family and in the world around me and my church? How do I know where to go with all of that? And it's a great question, you know, because we're not called to this stagnant, go through the motions faith. We're called to a place of following Jesus where there's movement, where there's this sense of mystery and wonder and uncertainty, but confidence at the same time, the place where there's freshness, and we're seeing Him work, and we want to follow into that spot.
Yeah.
I think that's where people want to know, how do I get to that?
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, I think that's the question. It's like people know there's the desire for, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Him uniquely. I don't want it just to be a religious thing, but then it's like, I don't know where to go with that. Like,
what does
I don't
that
know,
mean?
How do I get to that point of following Jesus, like being in His footsteps, seeing where He's going, and then staying with Him instead of like He's just here for a time and then He's leaving, right?
You know,
and the Bible does give us instruction on this and gives us pictures of this, and the way that Jesus lived, it shows us this as well. Like Jesus moved about in cities and working with many different people and doing many different things, miracles, signs, wonders, all the, like the crazy stories you see of Jesus making a crazy impact on different communities and changing them. And where He went, God moved. Like it was every time, and everyone's like, well, yeah, because He was God. Yes. But there's also the like Holy Spirit led, and Jesus fought, like the followers then followed Him, and then they did things, and they saw God move in their own way. It wasn't just because where Jesus was, but people were changed because of what Jesus was doing, where He was, right?
Which begs the question, like, okay, well, how did He know where to go?
Yeah.
There were so many cities,
exactly,
villages, people groups, but He obviously went to certain ones.
Yes, they say, and He chose places to go. It wasn't just, let's just see what happens today, you know?
Roll the dice.
Like, but it's like, He woke up, and then He went to this town. And when He was at this town, He did this thing. So it's like, there's intention behind the man Jesus and what He was doing, where He was going. And so that's what we want to explore today is, what are those intentions? How do we know where to go next?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we ask those questions here, even in ministry. Like, so where do we go now? What's the next series? What's the next event? How do we help people move forward in worship, discipleship, caring, unity in the church? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great ways to go. There's a lot of options, but how do you know which one is the way? And then personally, you know, we ask those same kind of questions, like, okay, well, what about for me? What about for my family, my friendships, those that I'm with? How do I know where to go next?
Yeah. And then how can I be sure that God is going to move? Because we would say, yes, you can be sure. Right. God will move.
Yes.
When you're following Jesus. So from John 5:17, it says this, but Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." So we also see in verse 19 of John 5, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner." So there's these very similar actions of what God is doing, Jesus does. So first, biggest point is God is always at work. That's something we say a lot here at Vertical. We don't say, God, would you please work in my life? God, would you please speak to me? We say, God, you are speaking. God, you are working. Would you open my eyes to that and show me where do I go? What do you have me do now?
That's such a fundamental shift. I mean, just the idea of not asking for God to work or to move, but He is moving. That Jesus said that, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working."
Yeah.
So there's no inactivity from God. There's yeah. no him hanging out in heaven waiting to get a call.
Exactly.
He's at work.
Yeah, and you don't have to wonder anymore. You don't have to, maybe I can persuade God into maybe doing something. Mm-hmm. No, we need to open our eyes to the fact that God is working. Mm-hmm. And then in that, we need to realize that our role is not in trying to then do our own thing and work our own thing, make our own thing while God's doing something else over here. But it's that what God is doing, he wants us to join in and we would work in like manner, like that verse 19 says in John 5.
That's crazy that Jesus would say. Jesus says the Son can do nothing of himself.
Yeah.
I mean, the Son of God has all power, but he says, I can't do anything on my own.
Yeah.
I only do what I see the Father do.
Yeah, that's so good. Now, that principle alone brings a different sense to that idea of like, oh, I'm being called somewhere. I'm being called to do something. That, there's a sense of I'm going to follow God and what he has for me rather than I'm going to go and just kind of make up my own thing out here. It's like, no, we are following God and where his glory is and who he is and in his character and his attributes, and that's what we do. God is showing us what he is doing in this life, and so we are to join him in that, right?
Yeah. And then our role becomes, I'm going to adjust to whatever, wherever he is, what he's doing, I'm going to go there.
Exactly.
And so
that means you got to constantly be sensitive, aware, and asking questions to other people. Hey, where do you see God moving in this moment? And where should we go? And there's wisdom in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus went to places where there was, where God was already working. I mean, that's what he says. I don't do anything on my own. I do what the Father's doing. So I would picture that as Jesus wakes up every day and he's praying and he's sensing and he's being sensitive to where the Father leads him, but he's also being sensitive to what he sees happening. So where there is need, where there is desire, even the smallest amount of spiritual desire, humility, Jesus is drawn there like, okay, that's where I'm going today. Yeah. I know this is where I'm supposed to go today. Mm-hmm. And that where he saw the glory of the Father move, that's where he was moving to.
So good.
So you get another picture from the Old Testament, and this is on the forefront of our minds here at Vertical because we're going through the series and about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. So as God is leading his people out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, and then as God has Moses build the tabernacle, it's around this idea that the glory of God is manifest there. And he's going to show up, and he does show up as a pillar of cloud over the tabernacle by day and fire by night. Mm-hmm. And God had already told them in Exodus 13 that he would go before them in this cloud, and it would be to lead the way. And it would be he would give them night he would give them light in the night, so as to guide them day and night. So here you have again this whole truth of God leading by his glory, and wherever his glory went, they went.
That's where you follow. Yeah,
you went there.
You followed God and where he was showing up.
Yeah, they didn't set up to see if his glory would show up. They set up where his glory had already shown up.
That's so good. So good.
This is good. So yeah, the cloud shows up and they said, "All right, right here is where we build.
This is where we are.
We're going to assemble the tabernacle.
Yeah,
and we're going to be here.
And there's no need to leave. We don't need to pick up and go build and do our own thing elsewhere.
No, unless the glory moves, and it did. Mm-hmm. There were times that the glory picked up and moved, and they're like, all right, it's moving day, right, pack up. We're going to follow the cloud. We're going to follow the glory. And what a beautiful picture. It's the same thing. You have the people following the glory. Wherever the glory went, you went with it. And that's helped us so often, even, again, here at Vertical and our family. Mm-hmm. We've made decisions over time. Heather and I, we've talked. We're looking for where is God moving? Where's the glory? And then let's follow that. And so when I was, and Heather and I were, we'd been married very long in the 90s, a study comes out by a man named Henry Blackaby, and he writes a book called Experiencing God. And it's a study, a very in-depth study. It's a daily, sit down, work through scriptures, answer questions, but it was all about how to experience God. It was so much of these same principles here, and the whole book is built around this idea that, or the truth, that God is always at work around us, and he is pursuing a love relationship with us that's very real, it's very personal, and he invites us to join him in that work. He wants us to be a part of it. Yeah. He speaks to us, and then he invites us to join him in that spot. Wherever his glory is, you move there, you go there. If he's working, you go there. And so that may cause a crisis of belief for us at times. It may cause some sacrifice for us, but we do that. And when we do, when we choose to obey, then we do experience God. So those are the truths from Scripture. I thought, well, we should probably make some more application of this. What does this mean then for us today? It's like, how do I do that in my life? I get it, tabernacle. I get it, Jesus. Cool, Henry Blackaby. What about for me? How do I do this?
Yeah.
Well, I would say we do the very same thing that Jesus did, children of Israel did. You look for the places where God's glory is at, is present. So. Yeah. It may be, I'm going to stop and I'm going to look for where there is a desire for people to serve the Lord. Where is it that that's happening? Where people want to seek God for, they have a spiritual hunger, they have an appetite. And if they have an appetite and have a desire, I'm going to go there. I'm going to sacrifice my time for that. If it's in a personal relationship, I'm there.
Yeah.
If it's in the church, I'm there. If it's in a bigger move, I'm there. If it's in my own life, I'm there. I'm going to go to the place where there's spiritual hunger and appetite because that's where God is at work.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has spiritual hunger and appetite, that didn't come from them. That came from God.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. That with just the question of look for places where God's already at work.
Mm-hmm.
I think for some people, there's the gut reaction of like, oh, well, he's not at work anywhere in my life. It's always all in everyone else's life.
Right, right.
Well, we got to go back to the first point of God is always at work.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Like the song we sing here at Vertical Office, even when I don't see it, he's working.
Yes.
Even when I don't see it, you're moving. You know, it's like he is constantly always arranging, orchestrating everything. So if you're listening and you're going, yeah, right, good principle and all, but too bad that's in everyone else's life.
Mm.
No, this is very true in everyone's life because God is working everywhere all the time.
Yeah. If you have an area in your life where you have an appetite or hunger for God, that's where he's at work.
Yeah.
In that spot right there. Because that didn't come from you. That came from him.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you.
So
heaven revealed that to you. And so you can know if there's appetite, that's from God. And so I'm going to lean into that. I'm going to go down that path because that's where he is. And it happens in relationships too. Sometimes, you know, I'll talk with couples and they'll say, I don't know that I don't see God in our marriage or I don't see God in my spouse. And then they'll talk further and they'll begin to tell me things. You're like, well, you know, my spouse did the other day, they did this really nice thing. They sacrificed for me or they were honest about an area that they had failed. I said, that's God right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because no one naturally confesses their failures to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
No one naturally sacrifices or gives up. If they are selfless, if they are humble, those are indicators God is right there. And that's a place that you should encourage, praise that, lean into that, go to that spot right there and know, the Lord's there. I'm going there because that's what he does. He's at work and I'm going to do what he is already doing.
And you will be experiencing God.
It's true. So you go to those places, you find them. And again, if you're looking for a church, don't go to just one that has the music you like or the length of service you like. Go to where you sense there is genuine appetite and desire and hunger for the Lord. Go to where you see fruit happening, where there's genuine humility, where there's genuine sacrifice, where there's genuine transformation happening. Not just people going through the motions, but real life. Follow that. You want to experience God in totality and reality, then you follow that. You go after that. And again, you look for those and that becomes your path. So what if I'm not able to see those things? Mm-hmm. Well, this is the value of questions, I think, in a relationship. We'll go back to maybe it's a close friendship, maybe it's in marriage. Those are the time to ask questions like, hey, how can I pray for you? That will unlock so many opportunities to hear where God will be moving in someone.
Yeah.
Or to say, hey, tell me about the greatest challenge you're going through right now. You're probably going to hear in the midst of that where someone has need and where they have appetite or hunger. You can be even more forward. What's something God's done in your life recently? Just find out what that is. Yeah. What's an area that God is awakening desire in you right now? Find out what that is. And wherever that is, lean into that.
Exactly.
Go with that. Have more questions about that. Have conversation about that. Pray for that.
Yeah. I mean, this is literally, it's the principle of ask, seek, knock.
Yes.
You know, like, God, I want to know, like, where you are. Yep. Where do you want me to go in this? Like, that's what we should be doing, asking questions mm-hmm. to one another in the church, in your family, in mm-hmm. your marriage, in your mm-hmm. friendships, whatever it is. If you're looking to experience God and then have other people experiencing God as well,
yes,
and having a deeper relationship with them or with Him, then ask them questions. Hey, where's God moving in your life? And even if they're like, bro, I ain't got a clue. I don't think about that kind of stuff. Hey, you're planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You're planting the seed of asking that question to where someone's like, wow, maybe I should like start looking for this. You know, I think that is so huge, as asking questions.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good.
Yeah. You know, you look back at even where Jesus traveled and did ministry, there were some places the Bible says that he did not go because there was very little faith in those towns.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little spiritual hunger or appetite. And so you don't see many great works done among them. You look at the Pharisees' life, you see Jesus around them, but you don't see God working in them very much. Much of the interaction Jesus has with them is never really transformative, you know, from a gospel perspective.
Yeah.
It seems to be a hardened heart perspective instead. Mm-hmm. So you look for those places, and then you go there, physically go there, relationally go there,
so
conversationally go there, and you will begin to experience God. You'll see Him show up in ways that will be truly transcendent, transformative. And when He reveals that to you, when you see it happen in someone else's life, you see it in a conversation. I was reading Henry Blackaby's book, and he said, that kind of revelation is your invitation.
So good.
Whenever you see it, whenever you become aware of it, that's your invite. Jump up, get in, go after it. And this is what leads to the place where you begin to experience God. So, great question, important question, and one that we should live out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
great.
Shorter podcast today.
It's great.
We just hit the truth, got right after it. Here we are. So, hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you can live this out in your life. Let's practice this whole principle here, this truth. Jesus did it. The children of Israel did it, and we're called to do it. See where Jesus is active in your life, in the lives of people around you, and go there. His revelation will be your invitation, and that's where you'll experience God. So join us next time. We'll keep lifting Him up and living Him out.